Well, today's Pentecost Sunday. I'm excited about this. I got to tell you, I've not been so excited about preaching as I have about this message today in a long time. I just feel like we're on to something at the brownstone. You know, when the Holy Spirit came, get myself connected here. When the Holy Spirit came, it changed everything. Now, when I was a child, I grew up in the kind of church that that talked about the Holy Spirit all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. And then I know there are some people that went to churches and they didn't talk about the Holy Spirit at all. Now, quite frankly, I think you can go to the extremes. And why I say that is because if you neglect the Holy Spirit, then you're neglecting part of the Godhead. You're neglecting the Holy Spirit. But if that's all you do is talk about the Holy Spirit, then you're neglecting a whole lot of other parts of the Bible. So there's a lot of the Bible. So we need to talk about all of it. So today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit because it is the day of Pentecost, and you're going to find out a little bit, if you don't know what that's all about, you're going to find out a little bit about that in just a few moments. So some of you grew up in those kind of churches where, like me, you heard about it very often, and it was something that was a major part of the church, and we saw God do some great things in those days. So I just want to give us some clarity on some things today, and we are excited that God is going to do something. You know, God moves in ways that we can't imagine. He moves in ways that we don't expect, and that is a great thing about the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit still moves in ways that we don't expect. The people who were there that day at Pentecost, the 120 in the upper room, they didn't know what to expect. But they received something far greater than they had planned. So let's just pray and jump right into this today. Lord, I am so grateful that we get to be in your house today. Lord, we are out of the rain. We are in a comfortable place today. I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon this, the Brownstone Church. Lord, there's not a lot of us here today. The place is not packed. But Lord, on the day of Pentecost, the room wasn't necessarily packed. There wasn't a lot of them either. And yet you did something so powerful, so incredible, that it changed the world forever. And so today, we are simply here. We avail ourselves to your power. We avail ourselves to your plans for our life. And we are thankful that this is the day that you chose to pour out the Holy Spirit on your people. And we accept it today as a gift of you from you. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm in the fourth part of a four-week series, if you've missed the other three. It's called Overflow. On week one, we dealt with overflowing joy. The Bible talks about several things that should overflow in our lives. The first one was overflowing joy. Second one was overflowing generosity. The third one last week was overflowing blessing. And this week, we're going to talk about overflowing power. That's what happened when the Holy Spirit came. It brought the power. So we're going to talk about abundant power today. Let me jump right into it. Jesus said in Luke, the 24th chapter, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Jesus was leaving instructions to the people, and he was saying, you're not going to be the same. There's going to be power in your life. How many are grateful for power? I'm grateful that we don't have to sit here in the dark today or burn candles. I'm grateful that somebody created something known as electricity, and it gives us power. I'm grateful that I'm able to none of us walked here probably today. Most of us came under the power of an automobile today. We don't have any horses parked outside that I'm aware of. Nobody came in one horsepower. That is power. But I'm grateful that we have power, and it changed the way that we see the world. That verse that says, "Just as my promise, stay here until you receive power and the Holy Spirit comes and you fills you with power from heaven," the NIV says, "Stay until you've been clothed with power." The King James Version, actually the one that we're mostly familiar with, says, "Wait until you are endued with power." Remember that translation? Endued means to provide completely with a quality or an ability. It means to be completely enveloped. And so Jesus is saying that he wanted them to be clothed completely with Holy Spirit power. In Acts, the first chapter, some of the last words that Jesus said, he said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Jesus makes it clear, you see, that there's another great thing that's getting ready to happen. Not just their relationship with Jesus, but there's something even greater that's coming. He's making it clear there's an additional anointing of the Holy Spirit that's referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where they would receive this power. The word baptisms means to be completely immersed. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, it talks about the doctrines of baptisms. There's 3 baptisms, actually, in the Bible. The first baptism is the baptism unto salvation. That's when you get your heart right with God. And the Holy Spirit actually is there during that, because nobody comes to the Father except the Spirit draws them. So the Holy Spirit is there. The second baptism is water baptism. It usually follows salvation. It's a public display of something that's happened on the inside of you. It's when we baptize you. And we don't have a baptistry in this facility, but I'm going to be speaking about baptism in the next few weeks, and we have some folks that are going to get water baptized. And now that the weather is getting better, we will probably do it right out here in the courtyard. Not with just a hose, we'll have a tank. So we will do a water baptism out there. So there are some folks that we have. When you don't have an indoor water baptism, you don't necessarily do it in the winter. I know my father-in-law used to pastor up in Wisconsin. Didn't you guys break the ice to baptize people up there? Yeah, maybe not. Okay. And then the third baptism was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's the one that we're going to talk about today. But I want you to be aware of those. You see, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. But when you get filled with the Holy Spirit has you. It changes you from the inside out. And so with those two words, endued and baptized, it's as if the Lord is saying, I want you to be completely immersed and enveloped in the Holy Spirit so that His power will overflow every area of your life. You see, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit wasn't given just so we had good services on Sundays. It wasn't given just so we were more lively than other people. It wasn't given just so that we could feel the goosebumps on a certain song. It wasn't given for that. The Holy Spirit was not given just for inside these walls. The Holy Spirit was given so that we could make a change outside these walls wherever we go. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. Look at Romans, the 15th chapter. He says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit and power kind of go together, don't they? There's just something synonymous about them at times. Some of Jesus' last words were dealing with this in Acts, the 1st chapter. He said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Look at that. You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. He knew that you needed the power before you were going to be the witnesses. Telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's what he was saying there. If we heard this translation to us today, it would say, you're going to be witnesses to me in Weatherford, in Texas, in the United States, and throughout the ends of the earth. That's what he's meaning by that scripture. And then you look over in John 14th chapter, Jesus said it this way, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Isn't that crazy that somebody would actually do greater things than Jesus did? Jesus did some amazing things while he was on the earth, but he set this up before he died. He said, when I go, there's going to be some of you that are going to do greater things than what I'm doing right now. I'll continue. Because he says, you're going to do greater things than these because I'm going to my Father. So by that verse, he's saying, I'm not going to be here anymore, but something is going to happen that causes you to do even greater things than these. You see, Scripture is filled with examples of the Holy Spirit doing incredible things in the lives of people. And the pouring, after the Holy Spirit was poured out, the power showed up and incredible things happened. Let me just cover the first 10 chapters of Acts in about 2 minutes. In the first in the second chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit's poured out, and Peter stands up in front of a crowd and he preaches, and 3,000 people get saved in one altar call. It's the beginning of the church. Did you know that Jesus never had 3,000 people get saved at one time? We don't have any record of it. That's a big deal, isn't it? In the third chapter of Acts, Peter heals a lame beggar. You remember the story. In the fourth chapter of Acts, Peter speaks to the religious rulers of Jerusalem, and they're questioning him about this healing he had done, and they're amazed at his boldness. You see, the Holy Spirit will change you. It'll give you wisdom. It'll give you boldness like you've never had before. In the fifth chapter, Ananias and Sapphira are actually killed because they lied to the Holy Spirit. Did I talk to you about the power? That's a pretty good example. In Acts 6 and 7, Stephen performs miracles and signs and was filled with so much wisdom that nobody could debate him. That's another gift of the Holy Spirit in operation. In the eighth chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit gives Philip a word of knowledge about the Ethiopian eunuch, and he runs along beside him, and he leads that man to Christ, and then he winds up baptizing him. It's an incredible story. You can read it there. In the ninth chapter, Saul of Tarsus is blinded on his way to persecute the church, and God speaks to another man, a different man named Ananias, and he tells Ananias, go pray for this man named Saul of Tarsus. And Ananias says, I don't think so, Lord. I know about that man. And the Holy Spirit says, no, I've got him for a purpose. And so only the Holy Spirit could orchestrate something like that. You see how that is? That's an amazing story. And so he prays, and he goes and prays and lays his hands on Saul. Scales fall off of Saul's eyes. Saul becomes Paul. Paul writes most of the New Testament. It's a great story. You can read it there in the ninth chapter of Acts. And then in the 10th chapter of Acts, Cornelius, a Roman army officer, has a vision, and he sees Peter, and he sends for Peter, and Peter's over here, meantime, having his own vision, and when the dust all settles, the Holy Spirit comes to the Gentiles, just like it had to the Jews, and we see how the world has been transformed, and we are the recipients of that Holy Spirit today to the Gentiles, because most of us are Gentiles. I don't know if there's that many Jews in the house, but if you are, welcome. So, that's how the first 10 chapters of Acts starts. Now, let's look back at the second chapter of Acts, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost came. So let's talk a little bit about this word Pentecost. Pentecost scares some people. The word Pentecost or Pentecostal, it has visions of snake handling and all this stuff that people have seen, some crazy things. There have been some crazy things in church. I grew up and saw some things that I didn't understand as a child, some things that I never wanted to see again. I saw some things that got out of control. I saw some stuff that done in the name of Pentecostalism or charismaticism or charismania, as some people would call it, that just kind of looked odd. And if you've been in church any length of time, you may have seen some things that you didn't understand. My dad has a saying that he used to quote. He said, I'd rather steer a wild horse than to try to revive a dead one. And so what we often found in church is that churches that were too dead were harder to move. It's great when you have the Holy Spirit moving and things get a little bit out of the way. Pastor can come along and just kind of help steer the thing in the right direction. Sometimes things happen in church. I mean, let's face it, when Ananias and Sapphira came and lied to the Holy Spirit and God killed them, did you know that that was a crazy thing that happened in church? And it had never happened before. As far as I know, it's never happened since. If it happened in any service and people started dropping dead as the offering plate was going by, the next Sunday you'd have a bumper crop of offerings, I'll tell you that. But that's never happened before. It's never happened before. It wasn't the rule. It was just like God did that in an amazing show of power, and it brought great fear on the church. They understood that God was powerful and that he meant business. But to understand this, let's look at a few things. We need to look at a little bit of church history just to set the platform. The nation of Israel, which was the Jewish nation, celebrated seven holidays. Three of them were major holidays. We're going to look at those three major holidays. It's sort of like us with Easter, 4th of July, and the Christmas, Thanksgiving holiday. They have those are our three big ones, right? So we kind of separate them. They're spread out. But they had these three big ones. They were the Passover, and they were Pentecost, and they were Tabernacles. That was their three big holidays. So let's look at those. And here's a verse you find in Matthew 5 and 17. Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So Jesus is saying, I didn't come just to do away with everything in the Old Testament. I came to fulfill it. So you're going to see a parallel between what's happened over here in the Old Testament and what's happened when Jesus came and when the Holy Spirit came. So here you go. Let's look at the first holiday, Passover. Passover. In the Passover, as you recall, they were in the children of Israel were at they were in Egypt, and in Egypt you had a very big problem. They had become they'd gone down to get some food, and they wound up 400 years later as slaves. So here's the nation of Israel, they're slaves, and God sends Moses to get the children and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You remember this story, you've seen the movie, and everything was going well, but Pharaoh was not letting the people go. It finally came down to the point that God said, I'm going to kill the firstborn of every family. But he obviously didn't want to kill the firstborn of the Jews, so he said, if you'll take a lamb, and if you will kill that lamb, and put the blood over the door of your home, I will pass over your home. And that's what happened. So here's what they did. At 9 o'clock in the morning, they killed the lamb. And then at 3 o'clock, they put that lamb in the oven. And then that sacrifice of doing this and going through this process year after year, that covered the sin. So here was the sin of the people. And every year they covered the sin by going through this. It was just a covering of the sin. But it didn't take it away. It just simply covered the sin. There's great examples of that. So the Jewish nation started doing that year, and they continued that all the way until Jesus came to the earth. And Jesus, on his last days, he died, and he was buried and resurrected. And this is what happens when Jesus comes. Next slide. He was crucified at 9 o'clock. He was buried in the tomb at 3 o'clock. And his sacrifice removed our sins. Now, isn't that wonderful? That is a complete change. You don't have to worry about passing your sin on to the next year and doing it all over again. Jesus came and once and for all took care of all of your sin. You're saying, Steve, are you making this stuff up? No, I'm not making this stuff up. This is what the scripture tells us. It says that in Ephesians, or in 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, for Christ our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. You see, Passover represents salvation. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. Some people want to try to earn it. It's something they can do. If you could earn it, you could go out and do it, and it wouldn't be a gift. You could get to heaven in your own works. You can't. You can't make it to heaven without in your own works. It has to be a gift, and God gave you that gift. In Ephesians 2nd chapter, it says, for it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You didn't do anything to get salvation, but accept it. But you see, God has even more for you. So let's go to the second of the holidays. This was called Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is not a scary word. It literally comes from two words, penta, which means five, and coste, which means to the tenth power. 5 times 10 equals 50. We got a mathematician in the bunch. All right, but only one. I thought we'd have more. So it's not a scary word, is it? Pentecost literally means 50. It takes place 50 days after Passover. And it's 50 days after Easter. And the nation of Israel celebrated the day that God had given the Ten Commandments. Do you remember the story? Moses goes up to Mount Sinai and God gives him the Ten Commandments. And it's a great big event. And they're celebrating this day. They're celebrating this whole time. They're remembering what God did there. And here's what he did there on Pentecost. They remembered, next slide. A cloud descending with a loud noise and fire. Remember that? Moses goes up and there's this. And they're afraid. They stayed at the base of the mountain. And God wrote his law on tablets of stone. That was the Ten Commandments. But do you remember what happened when Moses came down the mountain? They had the golden calf. And what happened? 3,000 people died because of disobedience. But then on the day of Pentecost, let's look what happened when the Holy Spirit came. The Spirit descended with a loud sound and a fire. Remember, that's what happened in the upper room. A rushing mighty wind and cloves of fire stood on top of their heads. God wrote his law on our hearts. And then they went out into the streets. And when Peter preached, how many people came to know the Lord? 3,000. You see the parallel. You see the mirror of God, Jesus fulfilling the law that took place over here in the Old Testament. It's exciting when you see that God is up to something and that he has a plan. God doesn't wake up in the morning ever and say, I wonder what I'm going to do today. That's because God doesn't go to bed at night. Ever. He stays awake all night, so you don't have to. Acts, the first chapter, puts it like this. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had set this up. God had a plan for this. This is nothing new. This plan was enacted many, many years before, from the beginning of time, I believe. In Acts, the first chapter, 8th verse, Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Pentecost represents the power to make a difference. The power to make a difference. You see, God has a job for each one of us to do, and we simply can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own power. Have you ever tried to do something and just weren't qualified for it? It's like building a house using hand tools as opposed to using power tools. You could sort of do it, you just can't do it nearly as fast. It'd take you a lot longer, and I'm grateful for power tools. I just wish some of the people working on my house would actually use them. Okay. Tabernacles. This celebrated, and so God has a job for you to do. Let's look at that third one that we're talking about. Tabernacles is what it's called. This holiday celebrated and remembered the time that they wandered in the wilderness. Now, they were out there for a long time. Even though they got the Ten Commandments, because of disobedience, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. So they're not really celebrating the fact that they were out there for 40 years. They're remembering that they were out there for 40 years. It's a celebration of that God has delivered them out of that. And this is a little bit about what happened in that. Here's some of what happened because of that. They were wandering and living in temporary huts, tents. That's what tabernacles are. They're just tents. They were brought to their final home, which is the promised land. Remember that? They finally got over there, and they celebrated it during the harvest time. That's what they did with tabernacles. Some of you are already ahead of me because this is what happens in our lives. In our lives, this is actually represented. We're living on this temporary earth. We're just temporary. We're strangers. We're not here permanently. This is a temporary home for all of us. We'll be brought to our final home one of these days, which is heaven. And the last thing is there will be a final harvest of people coming into the kingdom. I'm excited about it. Did you know that since the year 2000, more people have come to know the Lord than all of the years combined since all the way back to Jesus' time? It's just this exponential growth. It's this great harvest that we're seeing in the world today. There's more people in the world today, so that's part of the reason that happens like that. But we're seeing a great harvest. 1 Thessalonians tells us what's going to happen in the 4th chapter. It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we be with the Lord forever. Tabernacle represents the second coming of Christ. So those are the three major holidays. They represent three major things in your life. They represent salvation. You can't do anything but accept it. It's a free gift. They represent Pentecost. You have an assignment, and it's going to take power for you to fulfill it. And it represents, and tabernacles, you get to spend your life, your eternity in heaven. But in Acts, the second chapter, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, some people said this. It says, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? People are still asking one another, what does this mean? Anytime the Holy Spirit is brought up, there's different ideas. People have different thoughts about it. They're still asking the question. Well, today, because I'm talking about power, there's three things I'm going to tell you that the Holy Spirit does for you that is important for you today. First, the Holy Spirit empowers you and me to live righteously. Once the law is written on your heart, you no longer live righteously out of duty. It changes your actual desires. Romans 8th chapter puts it like this. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Some of you say, well, I still feel pretty controlled by my sinful nature. Well, you need to get more of the Holy Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit will change your desires. Some of you had experiences like that, where before you came to know the Lord, you lived one way, and after you came to know the Lord, you lived another way. It changed you. Your desires changed. Everything about your life took on a different way. Your desires change when you're filled with the Spirit, and you'll also have help even making decisions. Isaiah 30 says, the 30 chapter says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Have you ever had those moments when you needed some wisdom? See, the Holy Spirit provides wisdom. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. He will give you wisdom. He'll give you the words to say at just the right time. He'll tell you which way to go at just the right time. It may be as though the Holy Spirit is just saying, I wouldn't say that now, or you should say this right now. That's the way the Holy Spirit moves in our lives. The Holy Spirit works inside us and tells us things and comforts us. We are in the process. We started this Wednesday on a brand new Bible study on the Holy Spirit. It's called The God I Never Knew. You can pop that slide up there if you want to. The God I Never Knew. This is a good time as any to talk about it. This is a great study. Robert Morris, pastor of Gateway Church, did a great study on this. The Holy Spirit is something, I can't give you all the information on a Sunday morning, so we've got 8 weeks that we're going to be dealing with it. It's going to talk about every part of it. It's going to explain, it's taking the weird out of it, taking the mysticism out of it. It's simply saying, this is who the Holy Spirit is. Because you see, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit wants a relationship with you. And so we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. And we're coming up on week number 2 this Wednesday night. And we'd love to have you there and enjoy some great dinner and then enjoy some great fellowship and study of the Word of God. Okay, we'll go back to this. The second thing the Holy Spirit empowers me to do is to live supernaturally. To live supernaturally. Acts, the 10th chapter says, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See, even Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? We need the Holy Spirit in our lives every day to do incredible things. And you will live supernaturally. In 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, Paul wrote it like this. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. You see, he was saying, and Paul was very intelligent. Paul was a very smart man. Paul was very skilled. He was very trained. He was very learned. But he knew that that wasn't enough. That was never going to change the world. The power of God was what was going to change the world. The power of the Holy Spirit in his life was going to make the difference. And so that's what he said. I came with power. The third thing the Holy Spirit does is empowers me to live on mission. Now, what does that mean? You see, we're called by God to exist as change agents in the world today. Here's the thing. We're not qualified to do the job that we've been called to do unless we have the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can never accomplish everything God has for us unless we actually allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Because there are going to be moments when you're going to have God moments. God's going to just line up your steps. He's going to order your steps, and you're going to be put in positions where that Holy Spirit is going to come in so powerful. Some years ago, I was sitting in my office. I was a youth pastor at a church up in Denison. It was on the interstate. It was not on the interstate, but it was on a major highway. And a man comes to the church, stops by the church just to talk. Now, the church was kind of out a ways from anywhere, and this man came and talked, and I could tell he was a little bit troubled. And I'd been reading and studying and praying that day, and I felt I could tell the Holy Spirit was working that day. And I spoke to this man, and I talked to him, and he just kind of, as time went by over the next 20 minutes, 30 minutes. He gave his heart to the Lord, and I prayed for him, and he needed a ride. He needed to go somewhere down the road, and so I gave him a ride and dropped him off. And before he got out of the car, he said, I came in there today. I was planning on robbing you guys. And I don't know. He said there was just something that changed when I got in there and began to speak. And I can tell you what changed. It was the Holy Spirit. I didn't talk him out of robbing us because I didn't know he was going to do that. I just sensed that the moment he walked in, he was troubled. And I could tell the Holy Spirit began to just give me some things to say. It wasn't weird. It was just at that moment, the Holy Spirit just, I just couldn't get it out fast enough. And he's just there like. And that's what happens sometimes. You don't know what kind of situation you're going to be in. You don't know when you're going to have the need for the word of knowledge or the gift of healing or any of the gifts that come with the Holy Spirit, because the gifts of the Spirit are active in your life all the time. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have access to all 9 gifts of the Spirit. They can be used at whenever the Holy Spirit sees fit to use them in your life. So don't deny yourself. Say, well, that's not the gift that I only operate in one gift. Oh, really? Which gift is that? Criticism. I have that criticism. I have that gift of criticism. That's the one I have right there. That's not one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I'll just tell you that right now. We're called to be exchange agents. 1 Thessalonians, first chapter. Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. Deep conviction. You see, we need the power. When you step out and do things right, the Holy Spirit will convict people. Some of you remember when you came to know the Lord. I remember hearing my father-in-law, John, speak about that. That the night he came to know the Lord, he was just there in this church. And he said just the conviction, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit was there. It was strong. That was the Holy Spirit drawing him to faith in Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's main job is bringing conviction. It's not condemnation. You're not condemned because of your sin. You're convicted because of your sin. I have friends years ago, they got saved and they didn't know anything about this. I think I've shared this before. They had no idea what church was like. They had come out of the nightclub scene and they had just gotten right with God, and they were just sitting there on the front row every Sunday and one day the preacher gets up and he mentions fornication, and the guy looked at his wife and looked at his girlfriend and said, "I think we're doing that." And that day, he moved back home with his mama. And they got married a few days later. And it was just the craziest thing, because they had no concept that anything they were doing is wrong. They had no concept whatsoever. They simply said, "We just love Jesus." And the Holy Spirit finally brought conviction to them. And conviction just illuminates. It kind of lights up everything and says, "By the way, there's a better plan I have for you. I've got something that you could do that would make you be more productive for the job that I have for you to do." We all have jobs. God has given all of us jobs. And he will equip you with the right thing to say at just the right time. We need the power. The power is what we need. D.L. Moody, a great speaker, pastor, minister years ago, was asked, "Why do you need to be refilled over and over with the Holy Spirit? And he simply said, "Because I leak." And it's true. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit today, and before you get to lunch, a little bit of it's kind of filtered out. It's kind of leaked out, right? You get out on the highway, and a little bit more leaks out. And you go to work in the morning, a little bit. So you need a regular filling of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit in your life every day. You need to say, "Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life today to take over, to do what only you can do today, because I'm not capable of doing this in my own strength. Today, I need you more than I did yesterday, because I've got a whole new set of issues today." The Bible tells us to be in the world, but not of it. But while we're in the world, we're going to need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. If I've done nothing more today than make you hungry enough for the Holy Spirit that you tap into it and you look into it a little bit more, that's enough for me today. Would you bow your heads? The Holy Spirit will come into your need, will come into your place right where you are today. Some of you have come into this place today and you've said, "Pastor Steve, I remember when the Holy Spirit came into my life and I believe that the Holy Spirit was important, but I haven't pursued that relationship with the Holy Spirit." Well, see, when you pursue the relationship with the Holy Spirit, He will pursue you too. He wants to get to know you even more than you want to get to know Him. And so today, I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is here for you. The Holy Spirit wants to not only give you wisdom and give you the feeling that you get sometimes when you're in His presence, but He wants to give you power so that you can make a difference in the world that you live in. So I just want to pray for us right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. We're going to spend some time worshiping Him and just giving ourselves an opportunity to let the Holy Spirit move among us. The Holy Spirit often moves when we give Him a place to move. So Holy Spirit, we invite You right now. Just move among us. We invite You, Holy Spirit, to do what only You can do. To reveal Yourself to us. We need the power, Lord. We need the relationship that You provide for us. Lord, we need You more than we have ever needed You before. Hallelujah. I bless You, Lord.